we're going to talk about today, understanding spiritual gifts, their purpose in the church, and the different types of those. There is motivational, manifestation, and ministry gifts that we're going to be discussing today. And our scripture text is coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses number 4 through 7. And it says this, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." And so today, by the end of this lesson, my prayer is this. This is what I'm praying and believing for, is that we understand the purpose of spiritual gifts in the apostolic church. There has never been a time more important than this one today, that we let the Holy Ghost operate in us so that we can help others. Another goal to hear today is to identify these gifts, whether it be motivational, manifestation, or ministry gifts. These are some of the goals that I want to accomplish here today. And then recognize the importance of you operating in the gifts. It is the perfect will of God that every Holy Ghost-filled believer operate in the gifts of the supernatural. It'd be all right to say amen right there. Amen. Amen. I may buy one or two before I leave here this morning. And then we must discern and learn how to cultivate and use spiritual gifts that line up with biblical apostolic teachings. This is so important. So the purpose of spiritual gifts is to edify the church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 12, it says, "Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts." Now watch this. You're zealous. You want them so bad you can't hardly contain yourself. You want to operate in the gifts. That's powerful in itself. "But seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church." Spiritual gifts. The purpose of every spiritual gift in the scripture is to edify the body of Jesus Christ. It is to line up and to edify the body of Jesus Christ. The gifts of the Spirit are to build up the church spiritually and help you and I grow in our faith. Oh Lord, I don't know about you this morning, but I am zealous for the gifts of God, but it makes me even more excited to know that when we operate in the gifts, we are building up the kingdom of God. We need an apostolic church in this city that knows how to flow in the gifts of God. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
The purpose of spiritual gifts, they bring, are you ready for this? The purpose of spiritual gifts, they bring unity, they bring strength, and I love this one, they bring encouragement to the body of Christ. You may not even know what you're doing in the gifts and operating, but you can be an encourager through the Holy Ghost and have the gift of encouragement. Amen. The reason God wants the gifts to operate in the apostolic church is to demonstrate the power of God. That's the whole purpose, is for the demonstration of God's power to operate in our services. In Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, it says, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." Here it is. "And ye," and everybody say me, "shall be witnesses unto me," Jesus Christ, "be witnesses unto him, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria," and right here in Kingsport, Tennessee, "and to the uttermost part of the earth. You see, spiritual gifts manifest the supernatural working of the Holy Ghost. They confirm the gospel message through signs, wonders, and divine insight into what God is wanting to do. Now, I know today I'm probably scaring you, and you're probably saying, well, dear Lord, why in the world would God want me to operate in the gifts? Well, it's like this. He wants you to operate in the gifts to equip the saints of God, to equip us to operate and to flow in the Spirit, to equip the saints of God to work in ministry. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's what the gifts are to do and how they operate. They equip you and I. And I know today you probably walked in this class as like, Lord, let me get my coffee and get over into this class and just sit through. But I am praying by the time we close in this class this morning, there would be a burning desire in your heart that says, God, you want me to be more than just a member that's filled with the Holy Ghost. But you want me to operate in the motivational gifts. You want me to operate in the ministering gifts. You want me to operate in the gifts that you have given to the apostolic church. For you see this, gifts of God prepare and empower you to help others believe in the supernatural. Oh, oh Lord. Y'all gonna get me to shouting in here this morning. Y'all can all settle down, but I'm about to shout. Y'all all settle down. Yeah. They enable the church to function effectively on its God-given mission. It's like God would choose to use me to operate in the gifts. For so many years in the apostolic church is that when we speak of the gifts, it's like, oh God, He's wanting me to do something I'm uncomfortable with. Oh, I'm just too scared to operate in the gifts. There's no way. I want you to leave here knowing that the gifts are not there to scare you. The gifts are here to edify the church to be strong on a spiritual foundation that when the enemy comes in, the church is strong and it's powerful because we are living in the supernatural that God has designed for His people. To edify. I know y'all, all you scholars in here this morning, all you edumacated people, you probably know what edify means, but I wanted to go look it up just to make sure I was headed in the right direction. Edify means this, to build up the kingdom of God, to build up. You are the kingdom of God. The people, the members, the believers, we are the kingdom of God. It's to build up. And it's to give strength to strengthen, or improve someone spiritually, morally, or intellectually. God is saying, I don't want my people to be blind to the spiritual gifts. Now, I'm not knocking other denominations and organizations, but I will go on record and say this, is that every church in its existence, if you go back to the root, the founding of it, they preached the infilling of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in an unknown tongue. You can follow it back to the roots. I can take you all the way back through there, through encyclopedias of his historical events, on and so forth. But here's what happened, is they wanted everybody to be saved. So they took away the essentiality of being filled with the Holy Ghost. And what they didn't realize is that without the Holy Ghost, the gifts can't operate. You've got to have the Holy Ghost alive and well in your spirit, because it's the Holy Ghost that guides and leads and directs us. So what they did is they took away the first gift that you receive. That is the gift of the Holy Ghost. And that Holy Ghost, it gives birth to spiritual gifts that are given by God to every believer. And so what took place is they took out the most important part of the spiritual gifts in operation. Now they're not being led by the Spirit. They're being led by the flesh. Right there, somebody should have said amen on that one. Uh-huh. So from a biblical apostolic perspective, edification refers to strengthening the believers in faith, helping them grow in their relationship with God, and building up the church as a whole. Now I know you may disagree with me on this, and that's okay. It won't be the first time you disagreed with Pastor, but here we go. If I'm over here, and I'm in this spirit, man, I am just out there walking on the water and the clouds. That is good. But if everybody in this church is just watching me do it, then the church is not being edified. That the church is not being lifted up. It is the will of God for me to have my personal walk with God. But it is even the will of God for the church to grow together and walk in spiritual things. So let me say it like this. Can you hold your church back if you don't flow in the gifts and operate in the supernatural? You can hold back a move of God, because while one is ready, God wants the whole church to be unified and to be ready for the spiritual gifts to operate in the kingdom of God. Let's move on right here. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 26 says, this means, it says, let all things be done unto the edifying. I don't know if I've got to, oh Lord, I'm way ahead of myself here. Way ahead of myself on this screen. Everybody in the church, everything. Are you ready for this? You've heard me say it. I'm going to say it again. Sorry you showed up for a boring teacher this morning. I'm going to say it again. The pulpit is not the information desk. The pulpit is the confirmation desk. I should be preaching things that are confirming what you are studying in your home. That's the confirmation. You need to have confirmation when the Word of God goes forth. You need to have confirmation when the gifts begin to operate. And that is a part of the gifts of God. The teaching, prophecy, worship, and spiritual gifts should all be done to strengthen and encourage believers when they come to the house of God. Preaching and teaching instructs and strengthens believers in sound doctrine. Prophecy. Here's what prophecy does. It encourages and gives direction to God's people. Tongues and interpretation reveals divine mysteries and builds our faith. Healings and miracles strengthens faith by demonstrations of God's power. And then there's encouragement. Lift up those who are weak and discouraged. Edification is not just about your personal growth, but it is about helping the body of Christ grow. We are more than just family. We are one faith and one family. Oh, I'm going to say that one again. We are more than just family. We are one faith and we are one family. The fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers exist. Why do they exist? To edify and equip believers. That's us. That's why we need them. You will always need the fivefold ministry in your life. Because the scripture says, until we come into the unity of the faith, we're going to need the fivefold ministry in our lives. The Holy Ghost, are you ready for this? Jude teaches us, build up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. The reason the Holy Ghost is essential is because it is our greatest source of edification, building up the power and faith in the believer. in the believer. So let's go another step further. I'm covering a lot of ground quickly because I got a long ways to go. There are three categories of spiritual gifts. There are three categories of spiritual gifts. In Romans chapter 12, verse number 6 through 8. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, that's me, with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So we find here that there are seven things that I pick up from this portion of Scripture. Serving, teaching, encouragement, giving, leadership, and mercy. Here's where I find these things from this setting. Serving, prophecy, the gift of prophecy, declaring God's truth boldly, serving, meeting practical needs in the church. And then there's teaching, instructing, and explaining God's word clearly. And then there's that encouragement, that exhortation, strengthening and uplifting others. And then there's giving. There's giving. There's a gift of giving, generosity, and financial support for God's word. And then there's the leadership, organizing and then leading with wisdom. And then there is mercy, showing deep compassion for the hurting. And ladies and gentlemen, if I ever desired a gift for God to use me in, let it be the gift of mercy. Mercy. Woo! That's deep right there for me. Because mercy, in my life, I'm going to need mercy. And if I don't show mercy, if I don't portray mercy and give it to others, then myself will not receive mercy when I need it. Because I may be the only one in this room, but I am all flesh, saved by the grace of a mighty God. And I may not need mercy today, but by the sunrise in the morning, I could need mercy. And if I don't give it, I don't show it, I don't live it, then how am I to expect that in return? And so my encouragement would be to you today that through the gifts of prophecy, through these precious gifts, God, let me have the gift of mercy. A person with a gift of mercy will naturally feel drawn to help those that are in distress, because it's a gift. God gives it to you. And you want to show people mercy. I've had people tell me, well, how many times are you going to let them get away with this? Well, first off, I'm not God. Okay? First off, I'm not God. But I want to know that if you were to fail and you were to fall miserably, that you would find mercy in this church. Oh, y'all going to get me to preaching here. That you would find mercy in this church. That there would be a spirit of mercy that would lead to restoration. Because all of us have needed restoration at some point in our life. We needed it on the job. We needed it in our marriages. We needed it with our kids. We needed it in the church. Mercy will restore people when others will just say, oh, they failed God so many times. Let's move on to something else. I'm telling you, it puts joy in my heart when I'm able as a pastor to look at somebody and say, I know you messed up 5 weeks ago, but pastor's here, we're going to love you, we're going to care for you, and we're going to restore you. Now get back out there and get to work in ministry. And then there's those people out there that's not being led by the Spirit. They say, my God, well, I wonder what they're doing back up there. Lord, look at them. Man, look at how many times they fell. Oh, but when you're walking in the supernatural and you're walking in the gifts of the Spirit, you get that spirit of mercy as it moves over you, as it moves over your heart. And then there's the gifts of manifestation gifts. I'm hoping that's just water. Too early in the morning. Then there's manifestation gifts. Uh-huh. There's the manifestation gifts. And I'm way ahead of myself. I'm missing some slides here. But 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses number 7 through 11. It says this. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, and another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another discerning of spirits. To another divers kinds of tongues. To another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and self same Spirit, dividing to every man as he will. Now let's notice, I want to say this, but before we move into these gifts, is that it starts when the Holy Ghost is working in your life. That's the gift that we all, that is given to everybody, that we'll desire and we'll seek after. But notice right here is that all of these gifts, the gifts of revelation, the gift of knowledge, the gift of power, the gifts of tongues, all of these are, there's a spirit that it comes from. It's not a bad spirit. It's not a self-righteous spirit. It's not a self-man-made spirit, but it comes through the Holy Ghost. If you are here this morning and you have never been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we can stop this class right now and let God fill you with His power. That's how important this is. Because I want everybody in this room to leave here walking in the Holy Ghost in these gifts. Okay, there is the gifts of the Spirit that are supernatural and operate not through human ability, but they bring divine revelation, power, and wisdom. Okay? Gift of revelation. I'm going to hit this button right here. It's probably not it. Oh, Lord, I'd hit it without even knowing it. I'll get to that one in about 30 minutes. Y'all give me just a minute. The gifts of the Spirit, the gift of revelation, that is knowing. Have you may have this gift and not even realize it to just right now. But have you ever been sitting somewhere and God He allowed you to know something, and you didn't even recognize it at the time, and you're saying, man, how did you know that? The gift of revelation. The gift of revelation comes upon you. Words of wisdom come with the gift of revelation. And what happens is God gives you words that give you supernatural insight into what God is wanting to do. And then there are words of knowledge, a divine revelation of facts or truth. And then there is the discerning of spirits, the ability to recognize spiritual influences in the room, in the air, in the house, in the family, on and so forth. I have been sitting in my home on a Saturday night, and God would give me some revelation. And I don't want to spook you out here and make you think that Pastor's some guru and all of this, or you know, what's he telling Pastor about me? Well, trust me, if he told me, I'd done come to you and told you, okay? But I've been sitting in my home and God give me a vision of an individual. And then God would speak to me and say, they're going to be in service tomorrow. I would get up and preach, would tell nobody. It was just between me and God. But I knew they were coming, and I knew they had a need. I knew that God was going to minister to that need. I didn't get up and spook nobody out and say, hey, God spoke to me last night at 8:36 p.m. sitting on my couch that you was going to be wearing a red shirt, pair of khaki pants, and some tennis shoes, and you was going to be here today. No, I didn't get up there and say that. But God actually showed me in this vision who this individual was and the color of their clothes they would be wearing. Wow, boom, thank you, Lord. The first time it happened, it scared me to death. I'm like, why am I thinking this? But then as it began to happen, as it began to unfold, and you would think after living for God and walking in the supernatural that I would still learn that God, you're trying to speak to me. But sometimes it's like, why did God show me that? You know, why is that? So what you do is you flow in the supernatural and the spiritual gifts. You will never become so educated that you're not, you're remembering it all or getting it all. But what you will do is that you will learn to rely on the words of knowledge by divine revelation, that you'll just learn to trust Him. You'll just learn to flow in the moving of the Spirit. And then there's the gifts of power. The faith. Everybody say faith. Faith. The supernatural confidence in God's power. Then there's the gifts of healing. Miraculous healing through the Spirit. Then there is the working of miracles. There are supernatural acts beyond natural ability that only can give God the glory. Give God the glory. Now, just let me help you just a moment here. There will be times you will pray with people that you won't feel nothing. You won't feel nothing. You'll just be like, God, touch him. Lord, right now, Lord, touch him. Jesus, you know, God, touch him. Okay? And then you won't feel nothing. And then you'll walk away and you'll say this, well, I don't guess God did that miracle. I didn't feel nothing. God, I don't know why. I don't know what God's doing. I didn't feel a thing. I didn't feel the goosebumps. I didn't feel like dancing. I got my feet to dancing. I didn't feel nothing of that. I just, boom. It was, and then you get a call 20 minutes later, says, man, after you prayed, boom, heaven just opened up and I'm healed. And you're like, I didn't feel nothing. I didn't sense nothing. Well, the thing is that if you're relying on what you feel, then you're not going to give God all the glory if you were to feel it. Yesterday, I was doing some hospital visitation. I prayed with that sick individual, laying there on that bed. I'll be honest with you. I prayed. Didn't feel no goosebumps. Didn't feel my hair going to be blowed back. Didn't feel nothing. But within 30 minutes of leaving that hospital room, I got a text that says, you prayed, God answered. Bam, just like that. I didn't feel nothing. But you see, it's when you hear me say this, I can't heal a wart on your finger. I can't remove it. I can't heal a headache. That's exactly the way I feel, because it is the supernatural that does those things. And so we as children of God must learn the gifts of the power of God. They are given to us, but it doesn't mean that it is us doing the work. What we are doing is being the conduit that God can work through by the laying on of hands, the impartation of the miraculous works through us. But that don't mean we got to feel everything. Brother, I don't know if some of y'all knew Brother Barnes from many years ago, but Brother Barnes was a prophet of God. Used in the miraculous, used in the miracles. And Brother Barnes was nearly blind. And Brother Barnes's eyesight was so bad that his glasses were very, very, I mean, they had a high, whatever they call that, subscription, prescription, or whatever. I ain't the doctor, but y'all know what I'm saying. And he was praying for a blind man one night. He was praying for a blind man. And the blind man walked up and he said, God said, find you. You would lay hands on me and a miracle would happen. And Brother Barnes stood back and he said, I prayed that prayer right standing right there. God, how can I pray for a man that is blind when I am legally blind myself? He said, God said to him right there, he said, I asked to use your hands, not your eyes. Woo! Hey, now you know exactly what happened next. He laid hands on the blind man. He didn't receive his 20/20 vision, but the blind man received his 20/20 vision. Amen. Come on. This is what happens when you and I realize that the gifts are not there to edify us, but they are there to edify the body of Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, that'll make a Baptist want to shout right there. They are there to edify the church. And I'm going to have to close with this. I knew, Lord, I knew them. I wasn't going to get through all of this. I'm telling you, next week, the speaker's going to blow it out of the water. I'm struggling here, but give me just a second.
Give me just a second.
Let's talk a little bit about the gifts of utterance. The gifts of utterance. This is speaking gifts. Prophecy is a speaking a direct message from God. Now, I know I'm going to differ for some of your theology on this, but I'm going to give you my opinion. I feel I can back it up with the Word of God. There is a difference in the gift of prophecy and the gift of a prophet, in my personal opinion, is that prophecy is encouragement and for the edifying of the body. The prophet, God speaks direct specifics to pray for you. Now, I've got a friend. He comes here sometimes. His name is Gary Vick. Brother Vick flows in the Holy Ghost. And some people appreciate his ministry. Some, they don't. But I appreciate his ministry. Brother Todd Bowen was just out here the last time that Brother Vick was here. Brother Vick walked up to Todd Bowen and touched his chest and said, "Heart valve, be healed." Didn't do nothing, turn around and walk off. That was several months ago. Brother Todd Bowen was having chest pains in his heart just this past week. And he went to the doctor, and I don't know what all the doctors said. They said, "There's a little something going on right here, but your heart valve looks like it's being renewed or refreshed," or whatever the word they used. It was on that Sunday that God used the prophet to walk by and say, "Heart valve, be healed," and just kept on going. Now that's a prophet. That's a prophet. Then there is the gift of prophecy that God uses us for the edifying of the body to encourage others with. And what you do is you speak things into existence through the supernatural power of the Holy Ghost. "Be healed in Jesus' name. I'm encouraging you. God's healing your body right now in the name of Jesus." You give God glory and you speak words of encouragement into people's lives. That's the gift, to me, the gift of prophecy, and the difference between prophecy and a prophet. And then this is where we get hung up, and I don't have enough time to spend here today, but if you'll buy me a double cheeseburger, I'll sit down with you very soon and try my best to give you scripture on this. There's diverse kinds of tongues. This is the gift of utterance. Diverse kinds of tongues. This is speaking in unknown languages by the Spirit. I believe that there is the gift of the Holy Ghost. That is your tongue. That is the tongue that God gives you when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I also believe that when you get into the supernatural and to your spiritual walk with God, that there are other kinds of tongues. To me, there is a warring tongue. There is a tongue of rejoicing. There is a and somebody said, how do you know this? Because I have been praying in spiritual warfare. And it was like I was praying in the tongue that God gave me. And without even realizing it, I began to pray in an unknown tongue that felt like I was in a war zone, that I was warring with the very gates of hell. Now, I know y'all are looking at me. Some of y'all's, your eyeballs is out on your shirt right now. But this happens. This takes place when you build spiritual, strong foundations in your walk with God. This will happen. Pray, "God, get me to a depth in you that I can pray in tongues, in diverse kinds of tongues." Then, and I will close with this, there is the interpretation of tongues. Now, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but it's done on purpose, strategically. In our services, there will be tongues, and interpretation is what we call it. Immediately following that, I usually go to the pulpit and I will read a scripture from 1 Corinthians or about the edifying of the body through tongues. One gives the tongue. And the scripture says, pray that they may interpret. If they do not have the interpretation, pray that there may be another that interpret. But the scripture also puts it in line that let it be one or two, no more than three. This is scripture. I believe I can prove to that it's scripturally. But what I do is I explain that briefly, touch the treetops of it, because there may be somebody in the audience, the attendance that Sunday, that has never heard or knows what is going on in that given moment. So what it does is it gives a little bit of clarity to the unchurched that is among us. So that way he can explain it, because God's not the author of confusion. He wants everything to be done in decency and in order. And so there is tongues and the interpretation of tongues. Ladies and gentlemen, if God begins to move on you, it will scare you. It will, your knees will go to knocking together. Your heart may flutter just a little fast. But if you're in a service and you've got your hands raised to the Lord, and there is a tongue that comes to your spirit, that comes to your spirit, do not hesitate. Let it flow out of your mouth and let God begin to use you. When in tongues comes forth and the giver does not interpret, if you are standing somewhere and you've got your hands raised and you're being used of God, and something comes to your mind, the word of knowledge comes to your mind, don't hesitate to speak it out. Somebody said, what if I make a fool of myself? We've all stepped out and felt like foolish people, because that's the way the enemy works. He wants you to feel about yay tall. I promise you, when you get into this realm of the spirit, I promise you, you're going to feel lonely at times. You're going to feel by yourself at times. But remember, God has not given me this gift for myself, but he has given me this gift to edify the body of Jesus Christ, the body of Jesus Christ. And I've got to close there. I've got to close there. Hopefully, I've helped you a little bit this morning and got your interest stirred up in the spiritual gifts. But here's what we're going to do for the next 3 or 4 minutes. Is there anybody that might have a question or a comment? Now, the only thing I ask out of you is that all questions and comments be made referring to our subject that we've discussed today, because we don't have time to go off on a rabbit trail and start talking about who makes the best chicken here in town. Okay? All right. Anybody real quick want to raise your hand and say, hey, Pastor, this is a comment or this is a question. And who will be the first one? Brother Billy?
You were talking about the tongues. It can also be used like a witness, like when you're somewhere. You may be in a grocery store. You may be somewhere, and you might meet somebody, and your spirit may just cleanse with their spirit, and the Lord may tell you, hey, these people need to be talked to.
Yeah.
They need encouragement.
Yes.
You might go around. You might go back to them, and the words you give them might be the exact word that they need to keep going on from the situation that they're in.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing. Someone else? Comment? Question? Come on, did I put y'all asleep?
No.
I knew I was talking fast. But speaking of, if there's nobody going to make a comment here, I'll make one. I was in Dyersburg, Tennessee. Y'all have heard me preach about this through the years, but I was in Dyersburg, Tennessee. And I was walking through Walmart, and the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, you need to pray with that guy. You need to talk to that guy right there. Long story short, I passed him 3 times before I gave in to what I was feeling. And I finally stopped, and I talked to him. And we sat there, and we prayed. And he was from Yorkville, Tennessee. And in our church, even though I was pastoring on the Missouri side, we had a man in our church from that area. And he had a muffler shop in Yorkville, Tennessee. And that guy told me, after we talked a little bit, he said, sir, he said, it had to be God that stopped you. He said, because I've got my son here and my wife is shopping. And my intentions were, he said, when we left here, I was taking them home. I was dropping them off and I was going to take my life just shortly after that. I'm going to tell you right now, I probably would have never known that man took his life. But I'm thankful that I stopped and obeyed what I felt in my spirit so that I could help him. That young man and his family was in Bible study at the muffler shop from a guy named Brother Robert Weldon. He taught them a home Bible study. If I would have never been led by the Spirit, I would have never been known. I would have never felt what I felt, and it saved somebody's life. That's how important it is for you as believers. You know, God didn't give you the Holy Ghost just to sit here and look pretty on Sundays. God gave you the Holy Ghost so you can edify the body and build up the body. Somebody said, well, I'm an introvert. Well, when you get the Holy Ghost, you didn't know this, but you're supposed to lose that. I did this one time. Lord, I did this, and I hope God don't strike me. But I said, God, could you fill somebody with the Holy Ghost who's not an introvert? Seemed like all we was getting was introverts. I need somebody that'll get the Holy Ghost that don't mind sharing. Nothing against introverts if you're an introverted personality in the room today. I love you. But even God's given us all those gifts. You may not be out in the front like pastor. You may not be jumping across the church and, you know, like others. But God's given you a gift for you to use. And you need to be in prayer that God would reveal that gift to you. Because there's other gifts. There's the gift of love. God's given some of us the gift of loving people. And then there's a few more gifts that we'll talk about at a later time. But know that you have been called. You have been chosen and handpicked by God. I got time for one more comment or one more question. Brother Caleb.
So what is this way to explain to somebody to ask him? You know, whenever you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, you speak in tongues, the difference between that and tongues and interpretation. I actually had someone I was talking with about that yesterday. What do you do about that?
Well, it's let me go back here and see. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it talks about, I speak with tongues of men and angels, but if I don't have charity, what good is that? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 1. And I know that these are some things that you've probably read over. But the scripture actually teaches us the difference between the tongue. But, and I know I can't answer your question here in 2 minutes, but I'm gonna do my best there, Brother Caleb. Is that I feel like the way that I would try to explain this is that if they've got the Holy Ghost and they're speaking in tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance, I would encourage them to pray that through the word and through prayer that they could get a revelation or an understanding of those tongues. Because for many years, I'll be honest with you, I've been in prayer rooms and it's just been me and God, and I was praying, and man, I could tell that the tongue that I was speaking wasn't what I started with. And then Brother Tim Green came to this church a couple of years ago. I can't remember. Might have been last week. Oh, I remember. But it was a couple of years ago, and he taught this church on the difference of tongues on a Wednesday night. Maybe you can go find it on YouTube or Facebook, but it literally blew my mind, because when he started talking about that, I'm saying, man, I get it. I've been there. But it wasn't until just a few years ago that I picked up on the understanding of what I was doing. And so I would encourage you to encourage them. Don't stop what you're doing, but study tongues in the scripture. And still continue to walk. And as you become mature in those tongues, then watch God reveal to you what's happening. Now, I know that probably doesn't help you a little bit, but it helps me a lot. And maybe we can talk about it at a later time. But my 45 minutes is up, and we've got to get you to church. I promise you, next week, it's going to be dynamite. I need you to be here. Tell everybody that missed this class today. It's going to be good. Next week's the last week. You got to be here. I love you. Go get your children. And I'll meet you in the sanctuary. And if you don't have shouting shoes, I got some in the office. I'll give you a pair. Thank you, Sister Iris, for coming today. I love you. I'm glad you're here.